السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved and my kram elders and brothers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, sustainer and provider, who has granted us the most beautiful deen and has chosen us to be from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Peace and salutations be upon our master, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent as a mercy for the universes. As Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as a mercy for the universes. Alhamdulillah, we find it is only through the grace and through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has given us a most beautiful deen. And the deen that we have is complete. Deen is complete. It applies to every facet and every aspect of our life, from the day we are born till the day we die. Our deen is there as a guide for every, no matter what profession you get into, no matter whether it's to do with your social aspect of your life, whether it's to do with the professional aspect of your life, whether it's to do with your ibadat, your akhlaq, your behavior and character. Every aspect and facet of your life, the deen and the religion that we have has solutions and guidance for us. And that is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has not left anything to us to actually like decide and to make a discussion about. We need to find solutions, we need some help and guidance. All we need to do is revert to the Quran, revert to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seerah and the sunnah. Then inshallah we'll find solutions and guidance for every aspect of our life. But sometimes we tend to live our lives, and this is what I'm going to focus a little on today, on the moderation aspect, and also understanding that we live a life in this world, and also we are human beings. And as human beings we have feelings. And alhamdulillah, as much as lots of emphasis is placed in our bayanat and our discussion and our talk, and as being Muslims, lots of emphasis and discussions center around the ibadat, and alhamdulillah that is non-negotiable. We know that we cannot compromise on our salah, our hajj, and our zakah and fasting. And there's a very, very serious component that we have to be very focused and try and develop that ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes we tend to overlook the other aspect of us being human beings. And being human being, it doesn't mean now because you're a Muslim you cannot behave and carry on as a normal life as a human being. So I'm going to try and go into some discussion from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba ikram, some of the aspects of how they were the greatest. Nobody can be counting themselves as a greater wali, as a greater friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than Rasulullah himself. The greatest non-Sahabi, the greatest non-Sahabi, a person who is not a Sahabi, greatest wali he can be, can never equate the rank of the lowest rank Sahabi. Now, despite the status and the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and despite the position and status of the Sahaba ikram, they lived as human beings in this world, and they had interaction with their fellow human beings that they interacted with, whether it was their families, whether it was their friends, in a very moderate way, in an understanding way, and tolerant way. They also took out moments to relax and to enjoy and to laugh and joke, but within parameters and within limits. They didn't live a life of where it is as though being a Muslim, and that time sometimes we create this image, we create this type of impression that if I'm a Muslim and I'm following the Sunnah, then I cannot enjoy myself, I cannot laugh, I cannot joke, and there's all the time with my family and friends is all about seriousness. Yes, we all know as Muslims we are sent in this world, and we are preparing for a life of the hereafter. But that does not contradict us living as normal human beings amongst our families and amongst our friends and relatives, etc. So in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you look, I'm just going to cite few examples in the surah, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sahaba. Because of time restrictions, I might just go quickly through some of these incidents. But the important thing is to focus and try and implement some of these teachings. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us about smiling, for example. We, like somebody needs to pay us to smile. Whereas smiling is supposed to be second nature for every person. It's a form of sadaqah. We all know people who have stress and they have difficulties, sometimes financial issues and whatever problems people have. But if inshallah we take out the time to de-stress by smiling at people, having a light moment with people and enjoying light-hearted moments, then inshallah it will also enhance our behavior, and also it will be a stronger way of bondage. Because when a person is happy, when a person is content, person is pleased, whether it's your family or friends, then it also gives them motivation. It takes them forward. But when somebody is all the time depressed and he's serious, he never take out the time to de-stress, then it also impacts on his ibadah. But if you are happy, alhamdulillah, and comfortable in life, then that makes a difference even in your ibadah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, when a sahabi came to him and he said, "O Nabi of Allah, I want a conveyance. I need a transport. I need some transport to go somewhere." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Okay, take a baby camel." So he looked at Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "What am I going to do with a baby camel? I need to go from here to there. Baby camel won't be able to help me anyway." So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to him and said to him, "That isn't every camel a baby of another camel?" So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took out the time to be light-hearted and to make every person comfortable. That's why any person, when he saw Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was like a magnet attracted towards him. There was a sahabi by the name of Zahir. Most of these incidents are found in Hayat al-Sahaba, and it's a beautiful book that we should all try and get a copy of. It's also available in English. And Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahab Rahmatullah Ali has done an excellent job in compiling this book, Hayat al-Sahaba. So most of these incidents is a specific chapter dedicated to the jest and the light-hearted moments in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba ikram Ridwanullahi ajmain. So he mentioned that there was a person by the name of Zahir, and he used to live in the countryside or the village, the farm area, and he used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, as I said, picture this: who is we talking about? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest wali, the greatest buzruk. In our terms, the Hazrat. And this is the Zahir who is coming from. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say that Zahir is our countryside and we are his city. We exchange. He used to come and sell some stuff in the city, in Medina Munawwara. So, once when he came and he was busy engaged in his buying and selling in the marketplace, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes behind him. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes and he blocks his eyes from behind him. You know how sometimes we do with the small kids and we block their eyes? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing this with Zahir. And he blocking his eyes. And this person, he says, "Hey, leave me alone, release me, leave me alone." And then when he realizes it's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he presses his back more so that, closer to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam can continue holding on to him. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes an announcement, and this Zahir was known to be not such a good-looking person. So he announces, "Who wants to buy this slave?" Again, in a light-hearted moment, taking time to bond and relate with his people, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam announces, "Who is going to buy this person? Who is prepared to pay a price for this Zahir?" So Zahir says, "Well, if you have to sell me, you're going to run at a loss. You're going to run at a loss. Nobody want to buy me." So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Well, O Zahir, in the eyes of people you may be cheap or maybe less, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are extremely valuable. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are extremely expensive." And once in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a human being, and he taught us how to live as human beings. And that is the element we tend to give a wrong image and portrayal of what our Islam stands for. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting at home with his wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And husband and wife, it's normal for husband and wife, they are two different people. We don't expect each one of them to agree on everything. It's part of human relations that sometimes you will have some type of disagreements. But the key is for you to understand how to go through this, how to work your way out of this. So Aisha radiallahu anha raises her voice slightly, being the wife, and I'm sure all of us are used to this, right? The husbands, and how much we have to hear from the other side. So she raises her voice to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the father of Aisha radiallahu anha, who is Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, he happens to pass by and he hears his daughter. Now he gets extremely upset. And he goes into the home and he was about to reprimand her very severely for speaking loudly against Nabi of Allah. What type of disrespect this is? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intervened. And he went in between. He said, no, don't worry, you can carry on. We will sort this out. So he goes away. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Aisha radiallahu anha, see how I saved you. How I helped you out of here. Look at the relationship. And this Nabi of Allah, I'm emphasizing this. And then later on, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he comes back and he notices that things are a bit calm over here. So he asks for permission. He says, give me permission to enter into your peace. Just as how I entered into your arguments or your wartime. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you're most welcome. You are most welcome. This is the relationship of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his wives. This is the relationship of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his sahaba. And let's go quickly because time is elapsing. In the life of sahaba ikram as well, we find when we look in the seerah, for example, in the battle of Tabuk, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was camped and a sahabi comes and he wants to enter the tent. So this person asks for permission to enter. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him permission. So he asks Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, must I enter partially or must I enter fully? Because this tent is so small, I don't think I can enter fully. So they also had this type of relationship within the parameters of respect. They never went to the point of disrespect. And none of the severe, light-hearted moments was ever moments of lies or ghibat or vulgarity. It was all in the interest of having good relationships with one another. And this is something being part of our deen, we need to try and also make it part of our lives. And there was a sahabi by the name of Nu'ayman. And Nu'ayman, there are two or three incidents, very, very interesting incidents and something for us, light-hearted for us to understand. He says this person by the name of Nu'ayman, there are three incidents I'm going to talk about very quickly in 3 minutes each. So I'll try and capitalize on the time. One is the incident of Nu'ayman, and I'm saying it like this so you can remember it when you go home, inshallah, maybe today at lunch, when you're having your dal and rice and biryani, you can discuss today's bayan. With the intention of how we can have this type of discussions and this type of environment within our homes as well. It shouldn't be a tense moment all the time, pressure waiting for you just to leave the house so that the wife can be relaxed. Or your boss and employees are waiting for each another just to away from each other. There's time for them to relax and to enjoy the company of one another. No. So Nu'ayman, the first incident regarding him was in the time when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was going on a business trip. He was going on a business trip to perhaps Syria or somewhere. And he took another person by the name of Thuwaybit. Right? And he took him and Nu'ayman. Now these people, Nu'ayman and Thuwaybit, are illustrious sahaba. They participated in the battle of Badr. And to be a Badri sahabi is a very great honor. There were only 313 of them. So these two were two of those 313. So they are accompanying Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on this business trip. And Thuwaybit is in charge of this provisions for this trip. So Nu'ayman was feeling a bit hungry. So he goes to Thuwaybit and he says to him, please, can you give me some food? I want some of the provisions that you have. So Thuwaybit said to him, well, I can't give you anything. I cannot give you anything. I have to wait for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to come. Now he thinks to himself, now I'm hungry. This man doesn't want to give me anything. So he decides to play a light-hearted moment with him. And he goes to people nearby, and he goes and says to them that, you know what? I got a very, very intelligent Arab slave, and I want to, he is for sale. But you must be very, very careful. That slave that I got for sale is a very cunning and very intelligent person. When you're going to go and to pick him up, he's going to say, I'm a free person, I'm not a slave. Right? And the price of that slave is actually 10 camels. 10 camels I'm selling the slave for. So he made arrangement with those people that they're going to come and buy a slave. So when they come, And there they approach, you see, it's way bit there in the distance. They say, there's the slave I'm selling. So these the buyers now, they go to Thwaybit and they say, come, let's go, we have bought you. They say, what you talking? I'm not for sale, I'm not a slave, I'm a free person. They said, yeah, man, that person, your master who was selling us warned us about this type of response. So they tied him up and took him away. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu returned, and he heard this what transpired, he immediately went to Thwaybit and the people who had purchased him, and he gave them back their 10 camels, and he released them. When they come back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this incident is narrated to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned in Hayat al-Sahaba, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, whenever they heard this incident, for an entire year they used to laugh and smile about this incident that took place. Also about the Thwaybit, it is mentioned that once a Bedouin came to the masjid in the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Medina, Masjid al-Nabawi, and he came with his camel, and he brought his camel, and now for a Bedouin, it's like how you know you have these people have cattle, it's like their wealth. So he came with his camel, and he couldn't enter the masjid with his camel, so he left his camel outside. He left his camel outside, this was his prized possession, like his Ferrari now. He left it outside. So now he came inside the masjid. Now picture the scene. So this person comes into the masjid, his Ferrari is parked outside. Whatever he has to do in the masjid. In the meanwhile, some of the friends of the same Nu'aiman, they put a challenge to him. And they say to him that if you would cut this camel and let's have a nice feast, no, it'll be good. They put like a challenge to him. So he's like, somebody says, hey, you take this Ferrari for a spin. And you come, well, let's see if you can do that. Nowadays, it's a different scenario altogether because of security elements and other intentions being varied. But this is what transpired then. So he went and did that. When this Bedouin came out from the masjid and he sees his camel is gone, his camel has actually been cut and sacrificed, he screams, oh Muhammad, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and said, what happened? In the meanwhile, Nu'aiman ran away. He ran away. In our term, you see, he kicked down. He ran away. He didn't want to stand up. So he ran away and he went into another sahabi's house and he went in there's like a hole there. And he went and he hid under there and he covered himself with leaves. So when he goes into Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is looking for this Nu'aiman. When they go to this house and he disclosed that the Sahaba knew what had happened. So they showed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where this place, where he was. Indirectly they hinted to him. He goes there and he lifts these leaves up and he finds Nu'aiman over there, his face all messed up with these palm leaves. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him what happened and he explains. He says, why did you do this? So he says, ask those people who showed you where I'm hiding, why I did what I did. So this was again, look at the relationship and the life and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's also a third incident of Nu'aiman. This sahabi, a Badri sahabi, it is mentioned about him that there was another person about 115 years old he was. Blind, extremely old. His name was Makrama. 115 years old, blind person. He comes to the masjid. And in those days it was simple. Like the famous incident mentioned of that sahabi who came to the masjid and urinated or wanted to urinate in the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the most beautiful manner explained to him, won his heart over. And that is how when we interact with people, our akhlaq, the way we speak with softness, with kindness, winning people over. That is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character. فَيُمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ Allah says it was through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are soft, you are compassionate, you were kind to them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَزًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ If you are harsh and severe and strong, then nobody will come near you. لَنْفَضُّوا They would all flee away, they would run away. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's temperament was extremely soft. That's why the people were attracted to him. And that's how we also need to have this type of arrangement and this type of character. When we interact with people, we need to interact with them in the most beautiful manner in the way that we speak. Even it's your enemy that you are facing. Now, sometimes the way we speak with our families and children, it's sometimes you won't even speak to your enemy like that. The words that we are using, and na'udhu billah, we hear of some words, people have become so accustomed to it, every second word is vulgarity that's coming out. It's filth that is coming out. Whereas Allah has given us a beautiful tongue and say the same message. You can say the same message, the famous example I give you, and I say to your wife, who maybe is talking too much, and how she doesn't want to close her mouth. You say, oh my darling, how beautiful you look with your mouth closed. So you say, same message you have given, but with lots of hikmah. Whatever we do, we need to think carefully. Even when you're talking to your subordinates who have done something wrong, you want a good response from them. You want to have a continuous relationship with them. Then the way that you would treat them, even at the time when they were wrong, 100% they were wrong, is going to have a very important part is how you would talk to them. How do you respond to them? How do you interact with them? And how do you rectify the errors and mistakes? Let's read the life of Sahaba Ikram and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and bring those qualities in our life. Sifat. That's also part of our deen. So this person was a blind, 115 years old, blind person, so he comes to the masjid. And he needs to urinate. So he was about to urinate. In that time, as I said, a simple environment, not like sophisticated now with our aircons and carpets. It was just clay and, you know, trees and bark. That was a simple masjid. Nowadays, we got very fancy masjids. The buildings and the structures are extremely fancy, but the quality of ibadah that takes place is opposite to that. Previously, maybe the structures of the masjid were simple, but the quality of the amal inside was something we need to strive, we need to really work towards achieving. Nevertheless, inshallah, it's a step in that direction, especially looking at the context of the environment we're living nowadays. Alhamdulillah, in the Durban area, how many masjids and musallas and masjids are coming up? Inshallah, Allah make it much, many more to grow. Important thing is for us to now make sure we keep these abad and occupy these masjids, inshallah. So he was about to urinate in one part. So this Nu'aiman, he took him, held him by his hand, because remember, he's blind. And he made him go into another corner of a masjid somewhere, and he was going to urinate and do whatever he had to do. And when he goes there, also now the sahaba go to him and say, what you doing? He said, no, I need to urinate. I thought the person who directed me took me outside somewhere, you know, far away. He said, no. So he wanted to know who's that person who brought me over here. So they told him it was Nu'aiman. So that blind person said, if ever I can't get hold of that Nu'aiman, I'm going to beat him with my stick. I'm going to beat him up with my stick. Nevertheless, this incident happened after some time. After some time now, this Nu'aiman goes to the same sahabi, whose name was Makrama, and he asked him, that, are you still looking for Nu'aiman? So Nu'aiman, because the sahabi is blind, he doesn't know, so are you still looking for Nu'aiman? He said, yeah man, I'm still looking for him. If I find him, I owe him something. I need to hit him for what he showed me, the wrong things. So what he did, Nu'aiman took his hand, and he took him next to Uthman radiallahu anhu. Uthman radiallahu was performing salah very, very diligently, very focused, concentration in another corner of the masjid. So he took this person and he took him next to Uthman radiallahu anhu. He said, there's that person standing next to me over here. And he took his stick and he whacked Uthman radiallahu anhu on his head, so much so that he became extremely sore. Now, again, when this people Makrama, when his people came and they heard this is what transpired, this is what Nu'aiman did, Uthman radiallahu anhu said, no, we have to overlook him. He is a person that participated in the battle of Badr, a very illustrious sahabi, a very great personality. But his akhlaq and his character is exemplary in the sense, I'm saying it in a way, it sounds like now you might go and do these things. We need to have these moments in our life where we're able to interact and we're able to reach out and we're able to bond with people and not have a mentality or an attitude of everything being so serious and such a way that we forget the reality that we are human beings. Yes, there is a limit. As Rasulullah has mentioned in one hadith, he says, "La tukthiru dihk, fa inna kathrata dihk tumitul qalb." There's a limit to whatever we do. We should not do abundance of laughter, because abundance of laughter then will be a means of hardening our heart and killing our hearts. After all, the reality is we have to live in this world, and inshallah, keep in mind how the Sahaba lived, how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived. We're interacting with people, and our akhlaq is something we need to work towards developing and not forgetting. But our ultimate goal is preparation for the akhirah. And that should always be something that brings us back on track in these moments. Now what happens, we shouldn't go to the other extreme that we forget about this and also now not take the serious moments serious. There's moments in life, and the message inshallah hopes to be clear that we, how we interact with our people, with our softness, with our kindness, with our love, with our humility and simplicity. Inshallah, this is what we learn from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba ikram. Also we'll find inshallah, just to round up, many of the hujjaj will be returning this weekend and the coming week inshallah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا لَقِيتَ الْحَاجِ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ وَمُرْهُ أَن يَسْتَغْفِرَ لَكْ قَبْلَ أَن يَدْخُلَ بَيْتَهُ فَإِنَّهُ مَغْفُورٌ لَهُ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالتَّسْلِيمُ. That when you meet a haji, and we should try make it a point, if you know of somebody that has gone for hajj, to go and meet him. These were the delegation, our representatives on our behalf that gone, to go and meet him. So you go and meet him and make salam to him, فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ, right? Make salam to him. And before getting into the discussion of which hotel you stayed in, and how was the crowd, and what food did you eat, مُرْهُ أَن يَسْتَغْفِرَ لَكْ. This hadith is saying, instruct him, command him to make special du'as for you, du'a maghfirat for you, because maghfurun lah, because he is a person that is forgiven. When he returns back home, he is a person that is returning like a newborn baby. So this opportunity we have to meet these people and get and ask them for special du'as on our behalf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept and grant us the ability of practicing whatever has been said. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.